for great-looking t-shirts, hoodies, and sweatshirts, the TNT Shop is now open at tntradio.live. This is the Brian McClain Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome to the Brian McClain Show right here at today's News Talk. TNTradio.live is our website. I want to thank Lou Pate and my guests from the last hour. Very interesting conversations. Now, you know, we've got so much going on. I am going to talk a little bit about the conflicts, plural now, right? Conflicts that are going on, speaking of Ukraine and Israel and Gaza, of course. But I think it's important that we don't let all of this overshadow the things that are happening right here in America right now for us Americans. And, you know, here's one. U.S. inflation rises more than expected, fueled by higher rent and gasoline costs. I ask you, what's going to happen to gasoline costs if we go to a larger scale war? I mean, look at what happens to gasoline costs when, I don't know, the WHO decides there's going to be a fake pandemic. Look what happens to gasoline costs when we shut down our pipelines. You know, I don't know. It's that's pretty messy. And what do we got next? We've got COVID-19 vaccines may trigger rheumatic inflammatory diseases. New study. Okay. Good to know. What about Obamacare enrollment is half of initial projections and triple the price? You know, what about this one? COVID-19 boosters linked to blood sugar spikes in people with type 1 diabetes. Another new study there. Trump endorses Carrie Lake at Senate campaign launch event. So, you know, we've got a lot of important things going on. And oh, by the way, there is a war on right here in America, and it's a chemical warfare, right? We've got over 100,000 dead Americans due to fentanyl pouring into our country. Let's not forget that. That is ongoing. Someone is being administered Narcan as we speak and may or may not survive. Zombies are roaming the streets of Philadelphia on trank dope. All right, let's not lose track of all this. The World Health Organization is working on what some people call a pandemic treaty. Okay, that, my friends, is extremely unconstitutional and un-American and unnecessary. These are power grabs that are happening right here, right now, and warfare and lawfare, financial warfare, food warfare, medical warfare happening right now, right here in the United States. And what's up with Ukraine sending weapons to Hamas? If these reports are true, this bears some thinking about. Well, let's think about this for a minute. Ukraine, right, where we're sending all our money and weapons right now to defend democracy there. There are reports saying that some of the weapons that were sent there have showed up in the hands of Hamas. Is this another giant intel failure? Huh? Is it? Is it a setup? Is there choreographing happening here? I mean, think about it. Your government here in the United States wants to disarm you of your First and Second Amendment rights. I could go on, 10th Amendment, 4th Amendment, all of them. Then our government foments a massive conflict via politics, intelligence agencies, and color revolution in Ukraine in the Maidan in 2014. People were burned alive in a building by extremists. Ukraine shells the Donbass and Lugansk for years, well over 1,000 dead. Did you hear about that in your daily news, your nightly news, weekly? Did you hear about it at all? Then the ongoing encroachment of NATO and weaponizing of Ukraine, Russia invades, and we're told we have to pick a side on this. It's a fight for democracy. Send Zelensky money, weapons, small arms, rifles, body armor, tanks, artillery, and missiles. Send them intelligence, send them drones, to fight for democracy, right? Well, this corrupt Ukrainian government, which has Nazi factions floating around in it, shuts down borders, arrests journalists, shuts down all non-state media, shuts down opposition political parties, closes churches, assassinates dissenters, conscripts hundreds of thousands to fight forcefully, and sends 500,000 Ukrainian boys and men to die in a meat grinder. Were you showed this absurd loss of life and barbarism? Probably not, unless you're looking for it. Certainly not in the mass media cartel. Now, about those weapons that are being sent there, our own Pentagon admitted to us months ago that 70% of them have disappeared into a black hole. What do you expect when you send our nation's arms to a corrupt regime? It's sold on the black market. We've got reports of American hardware being sold to Russians, being found in Turkey, being found in Sudan, and other locations around the world. And now we're being told that these weapons have been sold to Hamas and are being used to kill Jews. Do you see the problem here? Are you starting to smell a rat, a problem? I am. I don't understand why we should be accepting this, but I'll pick up right there. But let me remind you, why not give TNT Radio a follow? We're on all the major social platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gab, Getter, and others. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
The news and talk you need.
It's more than just opinions, it's facts.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
So, we're being told these weapons have been told to Hamas and are being used to kill Jews. And now, okay, stick with me here. Now, we need to send more weapons, money, and tech to Israel to combat Hamas, who's allegedly using the weapons we sent to Zelensky. Okay, correct me if I'm wrong here, but it's starting to feel like we gave money to Nazi-affiliated, non-democratic Ukraine to defend democracy. That's in and of itself difficult to even put into a sentence. They then sold weapons to extremist Muslim factions, likely influenced by global intelligence agencies, who use them to kill Jewish people, and now we're obliged to send money, weapons, and troops to defend Israel from the weapons we gave to Ukrainians to kill Russians, but are now being used to kill Jews. Wow. This is a self-licking ice cream cone of doom and destruction, if I ever have seen one. How much of this could have been avoided? How much of this is surprising if you've been paying attention to the Ukraine conflict? I'll ask again, set up, intel failure, or choreographing? This is a major point of dissonance I'm afraid many are not considering. And of course, the propaganda to accept war is on full blast right now. While at the same time, the push to censor us is in full swing. The push to get rid of citizen and or unsanctioned journalism is in full swing. The push towards technocratic authoritarianism, digital IDs, CBDC, is in full swing. Now, the World War III scenario, right, is being pushed by the same people that lied to us about everything. The same people who lied about COVID, lied about mRNA shots, the died suddenly phenomena. It's not a phenomena. The same people that said, you're not a patriot if you question our election integrity. Same people who push restorative justice. The same people that were behind the pullout of Afghanistan and left $6 billion of military hardware there for the Taliban and got untold numbers of people killed in that hasty withdrawal. Does that make more sense to you now? Because I feel like that withdrawal makes a little bit more sense to me right now. It's been a big lingering question mark, but now I'm starting to see some potential theories there. The same people who want to sexualize and confuse the children of the West, the same people that want to do away with the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, the same people that want to push DEI, CRT, and critical legal theory, I could go on, literally the same cabal of politicians, intelligence apparatchiks, mass media cartels and bankers and military industrial complex war profiteers. It's the same people pushing the war propaganda right now. And everything has been polarized. Everything's been polarized now, right? We've talked about this before. It's all of a sudden, it's okay to talk about COVID, right? All of a sudden, it's okay to talk about lab leaks. It's okay to talk about DEI and CRT. It's okay to politicize that, right? Fox wasn't doing that when they needed to be doing that. Very few were. But now they're all packaged into these nice little conveniently polarizing identity politics. And like little COVID spikes on each one of those, they're grabbing together with each other. So now there's a whole host of ideas, ideologies, talking points, and analyses that should not be political, like sexualizing our children, for one example, like your health, for one example, like the idea of a particle, which we call a virus, right? All of a sudden, we can talk about all that stuff. Well, those things are all going to be tied to right and left, and the dialectics are going to be coming fast and furious. Absolutely fast and furious. Now, let's talk about propaganda for a moment here. Let me read this to you. The combatant nations, this is with regards to generalized the idea of propaganda, and it's actually referring to the World War II era in hindsight. But let's see if we can't modernize it a little bit for a moment here before Mark Anderson joins. The combatant nations must have programs for victory and programs for peace, programs of propaganda, and their people must be told about them. But even that isn't the whole story. Propaganda in wartime must seek to demoralize enemy morale. A primary objective of propaganda aimed at enemy nations is to break down their will to fight. It seeks to lower the enemy's will to resist, and it does this in several ways. One is to picture the military successes on the propagandist's side. Another is to picture the armed might and economic power that the enemy has to face. Yet another is to picture the moral superiority of the cause against which the enemy is fighting. It's part of a nation's strategic plan to intimidate enemy leaders, to separate them from their people, and to break down resistance by producing evidence that the mass of the enemy people have been deceived and misled. Propaganda, too, is an instrument for maintaining unity and goodwill among allies banded together in a common effort. This is a very sterile description here, but let's break this down for a second. Who is the enemy right now, right? We talk about propaganda. We talk about our mainstream media, our mass media cartel here, as my next guest has named it. And many of us have noted that we, the people, seem to be the enemy of the propaganda machine right here in the United States. Let's think about that for a moment. Let's bring it in-house. Let's pretend things aren't happening outside our country right now. Demoralizing the enemy. Breaking down their will to fight. Lower the will to resist in several ways. Doesn't that feel familiar? If you're like me, you've experienced this attempt to demoralize you, this attempt to break down your will to fight. We, right now, have a huge problem in this country right here. This sort of war propaganda is being weaponized by our government, by our media, by our Fortune 100s, by our intelligence agencies, at us. And I'm not just talking to conservatives. I'm talking to everybody who does not toe the state narrative, state with a capital S, and they want to shut it down. That's what these communications acts are about. That's what these bills are about. That's what the WHO pandemic treaty is about, removing our rights so that they can gain power and money and control. We're going to talk with Mark Anderson after these brief words from today's News Talk TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
So here's what happened. Matt Gaetz filed his motion. Okay, and then there's a time period. And so today, the time period had told, he introduced his motion. The first thing the Republicrats did was to move to table the motion. And what that means is just what it sounds like. Put it on the table. We're not going to take it up. We're not going to discuss it. We'll just hold it in abeyance and let it wither on the vine. That vote failed. 11 Republicans voted against tabling the motion, along with, I think, 209 of the Democrats. Yeah, because the final vote was 198 Democrats and 8 Republicans voted to oust him. So it's interesting. Because once the motion to table Matt Gaetz's motion to vacate the chair failed, they had to take the vote.
The Reckoning with Timothy Shea on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Radio works because of its ability to personalize to the listener.
What's exciting these days is that people are rediscovering it. You know, people are really rediscovering just how powerful radio is, how ubiquitous it is. It's in our cars, it's in our homes. There are so many new ways to access it. It's everywhere.
To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
Ladies and gentlemen,
today's News Talk.
News and information.
TNT Radio.
Yes, again, I'm going to emphasize how important it is we don't lose sight of very important matters right here in the United States of America while everybody is freaking out about what's going on in the Middle East. And here to talk to me about that is Mark Anderson, thetruthhound.com. is his website. He is the founder of thetruthhound.com. He is the Truth Hound. He also reports over at UK Column Weekly. You can find his work over there. He's an independent journalist who focuses on freedom, current events, and global initiatives. You've heard him with me on air before. Mark, it's great to be here with you. I think we should probably talk about the southern border first, because all of a sudden people have evolving and new positions, maybe about borders, or at least they are using them to support their current political, identity politic, if you will, for current events. But our border here in the United States is a disaster, and it does play into the current geopolitical goings on, and could more so coming up. We're getting all kinds of threats and terror warnings and, we hadn't thought of this before, but now this is happening and we should stand by for some really bad days. I mean, I had a pastor on in the previous hour who's predicting that there'll be blood in the streets and the election will be shut down and, all this stuff. So Mark, let's bring it back to the United States for a moment here and talk about our border. What are you tracking right now?
Well, right now, I hope I'm coming through clearly.
Yeah, we got you.
Yeah, I just talked to Wyatt Watson recently, and Wyatt is with Texas Lives Matter, and they associate with Texas Border Patriots, and they're having a lot of meetings right now. At least they're planning one big one on or around October 14th, and that's in the Eagle Pass area, which appears to be the mega hotspot, or at least among the mega hotspots, for large numbers of illegal nomads crossing the border. I've evolved to calling them nomads and wanderers now. I avoid the word migrants altogether because technically they're not migrants unless they're coming here for seasonal work. And oftentimes that involves people that come here legally and have green cards and go back and forth between the countries. At any rate, Wyatt said about a week and a half ago that in one 24-hour period, The border at Eagle Pass was breached by 11,000 illegal wanderers, 11,000 in a 24-hour period. And so it's really at a high ebb, evidently. And also Current Revolt, a Texas-based online blog or news source, sent somebody down to the border near Eagle Pass, I believe it was, and the illegal wanderers, nomads, whatever you want to call them, so-called asylum seekers. Many of them wouldn't even qualify for asylum. That's a pretty high bar. But they were putting blankets and tarps of a certain kind across the barbed wire that our so-called border defender, Texas Governor Greg Abbott, had laid down. And they were managing in many cases to crawl over the barbed wire, the concertina wire. And so they're always coming up with ingenious ways to get around whatever barriers the U.S. tries to put up. And that's when the Border Patrol is not, or how would I phrase this? Another factor is that the Border Patrol under the Biden regime is, as you've probably heard, oftentimes cutting the wire that the state of Texas has put up and letting the illegals in. The Border Patrol is now euphemistically being called a new travel agency because they're facilitating the influx of the illegal wanderers into the United States. So we have a real major problem here that's kind of twofold. At its base, Brian, the situation is such where the states have the rights to basically defend their borders at all times, whether the border is in trouble or not. And the federal government is supposed to run an immigration program with quotas, and those quotas would even limit the number of legal immigrants, let alone illegal immigrants. So there's supposed to be caps on even those coming here legally, let alone what we're seeing. And the federal government is supposed to tightly manage that, like the way they did back in the days of Ellis Island. And they're supposed to, you know, screen people for diseases when necessary. And they're supposed to find out what their intentions are, how they're going to assimilate. There's that word, assimilate into society to a sufficient degree. Instead, the federal government, rather than running a proper immigration protocol, intervenes in the state's daily duties to manage their own borders, when what it's supposed to be is the states would appeal or petition the federal government to come to their aid when the states are having trouble controlling those borders. So it's a complete and total civic wreck here, civic wreckage, where nothing is being done properly in the first place. And that's what it boils down to, is the agencies are not doing their jobs, and then everything simply descends into chaos, and then the cartels and the traffickers take advantage of it.
Yeah, it's really a mess. And, you know, you mentioned states' rights there and the issue of the CBP cutting wire. And to me, it begs the question, who sets the rules of engagement? And when I look into that, I find that, you know, ever since the establishment of the Department of Homeland Security, CBP is one of the agencies that is now under their purview, if you will. I believe they used to be under the Department of Treasury or something like that. Now,
yes.
Now, here's the thing. This seems to be the nexus point of some of our problems, because if CBP was run at the state level with maybe some minor fusion ability between, you know, themselves state to state, would that not solve all of this? Because the federal DHS, Mayorkas and crew, and, you know, whoever's hand is in that glove, they're the ones that set the rules of engagement. And it's my understanding that CBP officers, they can't strike, they can't protest, they can't talk to media to a certain extent, and that the rules of engagement that they are given is that if someone is in the country, and even as we both know, if someone's on the other side of the Constantina wire, they're already in the country. It is their duty, their rule of engagement, to apprehend them and process them. What does that say to you about DHS and the idea of a federal organization setting the ROE?
You know, that's an excellent point, Hesh. That's a very good point that is rarely discussed. What happened after 9/11, right? We had the Project for a New American Century. We had the Middle Eastern wars. We had major U.S. military intervention. But one of the main things we had was the creation of the Department of Homeland Security. And that has brought nothing but trouble. I would like anyone to name one thing, tangible, major thing that the DHS has done to benefit this country, other than turn it into a Gestapo and turn it into, in a sense, turn it into a dysfunctional entity at the border, but at the same time, looking at soccer moms and pro-life moms and having studies about pro-life moms being potential terrorists. And okay, so the Sinaloa cartel isn't a problem at the border. We're going to look at pro-life mothers, really?
Yeah.
And so, this is another dividend. Our border right now is another dividend of the post 9/11 creation of the Department of Homeland Security, the Transportation Security Administration, looking at your junk through these sophisticated scanners. Early on, it was Rapiscan brand scanners that DHS officials were directly involved in terms of being involved in the companies that were providing these scanners.
Like Michael Chertoff at the time made a mint on that.
Michael Chertoff, that's the name I was thinking of. And so this is another dividend of the post 9/11 policies. And of course that stems from an event, 9/11, that we were never told the truth about. And that this government is devoted to never telling the truth about that, just like JFK. And so we're still suffering from the total mismanagement of the aftermath of 9/11, saying nothing of what actually happened on that day, the obvious false flag, the obvious things that went down. We don't have time to get into that. Just these dividends on the domestic level are bad enough for now, and that's what we're seeing. And Mayorkas is just another hand in the glove, as you say, that's mismanaging an agency that shouldn't exist in the first place.
Yeah. Talk about weaponized federal agencies. And I also noted that immigration and ICE and immigration and naturalization, all these, they're all in that. They're all under the DHS umbrella. Mark, hold the line. I've got a headline inbound right here from today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Deadline. TNT Radio News.
Big news.
Yeah!
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. A former Hamas leader has called for Muslims across the world and for the peoples of neighboring countries to join the fight against Israel. Khaled Mashal called for protests across the Muslim world on Friday in support of the Palestinians. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, while meeting with Israeli leaders in Tel Aviv, says the United States will never stop helping Israel defend itself against attacks like those carried out by Hamas terrorists.
On air and on the app.
I listen on the app.
Stay up to date around the clock.
I listen, therefore I know.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Mark Anderson from thetruthhound.com, UK column, and Stop the Presses is my guest. Now, Mark, I'm glad you brought up Wyatt. Wyatt's going to be on the program on Monday, so we're going to get a detailed update from Wyatt on Monday in the Brian McClain Show. It's going to be, it's always a really good conversation when he comes by. And Garland was on yesterday. We had a really interesting discussion about our voter integrity and the work of voterga.org. Just fantastic. Thank you for introducing me to both of those guys. They've been very well received here at today's News Talk, and I always look forward to speaking with them and you as well. I do want to pivot to the WHO pandemic treaty, but I want to make sure we don't have anything else to say about the southern border, because I mean, nothing to say. We could talk about it all day.
Yeah, Wyatt should be speaking as of Monday, October 16, when he's on. He should be speaking of, if things went as planned, his October 14 get-together, where, by the way, in Eagle Pass, the Democratic governor came around, evidently, and said, you know, you guys have a point. This border's out of control. The Democratic Party's view on this is really skewed. I think he's seeing the light. I don't remember his name offhand, but the mayor of Eagle Pass, evidently, to some degree, has seen the light. And the governor of Illinois, J.B. Pritzker, is to some degree complaining about Biden's policies, although not always for the right reasons. And other governors and local officials who are Democrats are beginning to buckle under the pressure of the sheer magnitude of the illegal wanderers and nomads coming in. We'll leave it at that. So there's an interesting seismic shift going on right now, but we can move on to the WHO.
Yeah, absolutely. Even at MSN, you know, dreaded MSN.com, they're posting articles about Eagle Pass and Mayor Rolando Salinas Jr. declaring state of emergency. So, there's definitely, I don't know if I could call it a sea change, but there's definitely some barometric pressure being added to this particular environment. But as for WHO pandemic treaty, this is one I'm really glad you're here to talk to us about. We got about, I don't know, 5 minutes to break it down, but I'm blown away by the mass acceptance of war propaganda right now and people clamoring for more war when we haven't wrapped up the war that was waged on us over the scamdemic. And now this is burbling in the background. Same with the fentanyl. I mean, we're at war with, we're experiencing chemical warfare every day because of the open border we're just discussing, over 100,000 dead people, dead kids all over the United States, everybody talking about beheaded babies in another country and stuff. And even that narrative is a bit questionable right now after what I've seen today. So, but everybody just seems to forget that we've got toddlers dying in daycare centers because they crawled on a rug that some Fetty zombie was using the night before. Let's anyway, back to the WHO pandemic. I mean, pandemic treaty, this is going on in the background, and this is highly, highly oppositional to freedom, liberty, Constitution, and Bill of Rights.
Yeah, it's the most pivotal issue right now that we can all unite behind, regardless of our differences on the Israeli-Hamas situation and the various opinions and the hot tempers. We need to cool our jets a little bit and remember that ongoing attempts at a very despotic medical tyranny are doing just that. They're going on. They're happening every day. They're breaking the bread in the kitchens of the New World Order in Geneva. The WHO is part of the UN system. The UN system doesn't recognize human rights in the same way the Constitution does. So you break that down into the medical realm, and they're engineering a treaty that they don't want to call a treaty. They want to call it an instrument or an accord so they can downplay it in the eyes of the US Senate, which is constitutionally required to consent to all treaties. And they want to try and cement this idea that all the countries are all for one and one for all under this treaty. And they all have to follow the same medical protocols when the next quote-unquote pandemic comes along. Tedros, the head of the WHO, the director general, is saying it's not a question of when the next, or not a question of if the next pandemic will come along. It's only a question of when. And they're rolling this out as fast as they can. They're trying to do it more or less under the table while we get overly excited about what's going on in Israel and whatnot. Well, we got to remember that there's a lot of ambiguities and a lot of opaque matters and a lot of very unanswered questions regarding how Hamas carried this out, why the Israeli state, why it was evidently asleep at the wheel in terms of its basic intelligence and defenses. There's all sorts of unanswered questions, and we've got to not so quickly jumped to one side or the other or get too excited about the overall event. Remember what's going on in Geneva. Remember that the UN on September 20th approved the high-level declaration on pandemic preparedness and response. And that's one of their major moves. They were right on schedule September 20th. The UN debated that. The WHO held a press conference. I attended that press conference virtually for the UK column. I covered it. There's an article going on UK column soon, ukcolumn.org. Right now, there's a preliminary article I wrote about it at thetruthhound.com, my blog. But they're going to push for that May 2024 pandemic treaty and the IHR, International Health Regulations, on a parallel track, which might even more be even more despotic than the treaty itself. So all of this is being pushed just as hard as they can push it. The intergovernmental negotiating body working on the treaty and the working group on the IHR working on the regulations. That's what's going on. You got to call your senator right away and let him know ahead of time that this treaty, and it is a treaty, is coming down the pike and you don't like it, and they've got to do their duty. And that's the nutshell of it right there.
Yeah, this is just another unacceptable plank in the platform of the pandemic industrial complex that we have been odiously gifted by the powers that be. And because, why? Because we can't figure this out. We're chasing our tails too much. We're worried about, we went from worrying about pangolins mating with bats and some weirdo eating it and then getting on a plane and then spreading a microscopic particle across the world. I mean, you've got to be kidding me. We went from that to a lab leak, and to now it's just like, oh, unbelievable. And then in the middle of all that, they give us the George Floyd experience. They give us the Antifa experience. They give us the BLM experience. These people weaponized everything against us during that. And now, you know, it's like we have not fixed any of these things. These things have all not been addressed properly. And we're to just start clamoring for a holy war of some sort, start talking about glassing whole areas and just hoping that it doesn't turn into a wider conflict. Well, I'm hearing that Israel is bombing locations in Syria today also. I mean, it's just amazing, Mark. I'll pass it to you for any final thoughts before I have to let you go. And I'll look forward to you coming back and joining me here on Today's News Talk soon.
I do have one thought to share about Israel. Isn't it interesting that the Viktor Orbans of the world and Hungary and other right-wing governments are called pariah states, but the right-wing government, the Zionist right-wing government of Israel, gets a free pass? The globalists hate any other kind of right-wing ideology, any other kind of right-wing state, Latin America, Europe, Hungary, everywhere, anywhere in the world. But the Israeli Zionist right-wing state not only is allowed to exist without trouble from the globalists, but the globalists give it unconditional support without knowing all the facts. And I'm not taking the sides of Hamas. I'm just saying that every state deserves to be treated equally, and no state, including Israel, is beyond reproach. That's all I'm saying.
I got you. I copy that. And I'm just going to throw this one in your pocket, Mark, before I have to let you go. But in my opening monologue to this hour, I was talking about how, shouldn't it cause a little bit of dissonance that we're now being told that weapons that were bought with our tax dollars, our debt, sent to Ukraine, now allegedly being used by Hamas to kill Jewish people, and we're supposed to what? We're supposed to send more money and more weapons to the people that are getting killed by our weapons in the first place? I mean, this is madness. It's absolute madness, especially if you start looking at the history of all these cultures and start thinking about who's actually funding who.
Exactly. But no state is beyond reproach. Everybody has to answer to the basic ethos, the basic moral code that all nations need to live up to. If we want to live in a free society, we've got to we got to be careful of entangling alliances, just like the founders Thomas Jefferson and George Washington warned us about getting into entangling alliances, and this is why. They were very wise, and let's recognize how right they were.
Amen. That's a good place to leave it, Mark. TheTruthHound.com, UKColumn.org. Stop the Presses is still happening, right?
Yeah. Every Wednesday at RepublicBroadcasting.org. I just did a show today.
All right. Excellent.
Yesterday, rather. Excuse me.
Yeah, time flies. It's already Thursday. All right. Keep up the great work, Mark. Thanks for joining me here on the Brian McClain Show at Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
The question is, how stupid do people pushing this climate change think we are? Now, I've got to confess, they have to think a lot of people are pretty stupid. And the reason I say that is you see all these people buying into this. I mean, it makes no sense at all. Do you know that the 30th and 31st items that will kill you are heat, hot and cold exposure, and natural disasters? Now, both of those are pushed by the climate change people. But this is the type of people these are. For instance, the Washington Post, they're talking about how warm Europe is this fall. And I'm like, yeah, my company, Weatherbell, predicted it to be a very warm fall in Europe. But we also said that things are going to switch around by the time we get to November. So they do this big article on how warm it is in Europe, apparently completely oblivious to the change that is coming. And that is what I mean by people thinking other people are stupid. Now, there's an old saying, actually it's not that old, it came from a movie called Forrest Gump, that stupid is as stupid does. And we also get the leaders that we deserve. So people have to wake up to what's going on here. This phony climate war is directly or indirectly responsible for a lot of misery on the planet that we really shouldn't be having nowadays. This is TNT Climate and Weather Watchdog meteorologist Joe Bastardi asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you've got.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
The Black Lives Matter Network, or BLM Network, founded by the three black female activists who created the hashtag Black Lives Matter hashtag, can be differentiated from the BLM movement, a more amorphous collection of racial justice groups. The BLM Network is a structured organization that has 34 chapters. Gaza described the network as an online platform that existed to provide activists with a shared set of principles and goals. Local Black Lives Matter chapters are asked to commit to the organization's list of guiding principles, but operate without a central structure or hierarchy. Gaza has commented that the network was not interested in policing who is and who is not part of the movement. The Black Lives Matter Global Network Foundation, one of the main organizations coordinating organizing and mobilization efforts across the Black Lives Matter network, reportedly raised up to $90 million in 2020. Black Lives Matter Global Network Foundation, Inc. is a global organization in the US, UK, and Canada, whose stated mission is to eradicate white supremacy and build local power to intervene on violence on black communities by the state and vigilantes. The Black Lives Matter movement founders have connections to large radical left organizations. The connection to the left has made the BLM movement rich and influential. Influence Watch estimates that groups associated with the BLM movement have taken in $133 million since 2013. Organizations associated with liberal billionaire George Soros are said to have provided at least $33 million to various BLM movement groups since 2016. In 2015, the fundraising club Democracy Alliance, led by liberal donors like George Soros and Taco Bell heir Rob McKay, recommended its donors to increase contributions to endorsed groups that have supported the Black Lives Matter movement.
Calling it as it is, you're with Hesher on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
You know, with such gross stuff going on in the news feeds today, I thought maybe we could have a light and fluffy conversation about serial killers. Yes, let's do some true crime here. We've got the BTK case. We've got the Idaho serial killer case. We've got the Giglio, or however you pronounce that thing, going on. So lots to talk about in this realm. And it's odd to call that fun and lighthearted, but when I peer into the media feeds here, Baselit Analyzer, that stuff is some serious black pill that we're dealing with. We got war propaganda coming at us. We've got gory videos. We've got heartbreak and emotion happening right now. Massive identity politics clashing. So let's talk some current events here with regards to what we're seeing in the true crime era.
Yeah, with so much going on in the world, it's crazy that this is the lighter stuff. I mean, it's not lighter. I want peace on earth and goodwill towards men. But, you know, it's amazing the kind of stuff that goes by the wayside, of course, while there's so much death and destruction going on. And like you said, the Gilgo Beach murder, Rex Hoyerman, I guess, and Brian Koberger, the suspected, these guys are, you know, alleged, the suspected Idaho serial killer, and then ties with BTK, convicted Dennis Rader. And it's amazing. I think that one thing to keep in perspective is that the serial killer phenomenon that came out of the 60s and 70s, certainly with Program to Kill, with Dave McGowan talks about that, comes out of Phoenix Program and War. And I would not be surprised, hopefully not the case, but I would not be surprised if with, you know, the forever wars going on in the last 20 years of the war on terror, if we start to see more of these things. And what's really interesting about this is the suspected links so far between the guilt, you know, with BTK commenting on the Gilgo Beach, suspected Gilgo Beach killer, and saying on record, he said he's just like me. He's a mirror of me. And I would, again, I wouldn't be surprised to find out sometime in the future, hopefully it's not the case, but that they knew each other. We've seen that was the case with Bundy, Son of Sam, Manson, and a bunch of these guys knowing each other. And of course, it's a small community of people. And I'm not, I don't mean to make it a laughing matter, but it is crazy that these things, keep popping up. And there've been a bunch of them. There was recent news in England from a guy called Bible John that they've suspected, they found, which was another serial killer over there. There's a guy, Escobar, who just came over, who's the Mexican. There's one, then there's another one. He's the Mexican Ted. They called him the Mexican Ted Bundy. And I think this is going to keep popping up. And I think that it's important to look at these things through a sort of a parallel lens, and through the lens of art, because oftentimes that provides a sort of a mirror into reality that we don't get through the news feed. And so, as part of Spooktober, spooky season coming up, of course, I'll be doing an analysis of William Peter Blatty's The Ninth Configuration and The Exorcist 3. And it's crazy that The Exorcist 3 is the movie that Dahmer cited as one of his inspirations. And so I think that's it's important to go back and look at these things.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you and I have talked about William Peter Blatty before, and we're both aficionados of Exorcist 3. It's my personal favorite aside from the original. And even then, like if you were to put both those in front of me and say, which one do you want to watch? I'm usually going to go towards Exorcist 3. But there's strange esoterics and intelligence connections to even some of these stories, to William Peter Blatty's writing, and a lot of parallels, like you said, looking for parallels through art and this sort of thing. And I'm glad you pointed out the I knew those guys. I feel like Henry Lee Lucas had something like that too. And oh, what's his face? The guy that was Pogo the Clown with John Wayne Gacy.
Yeah,
a lot of those guys, those big name guys, they had commentary about each other, and the news would hype that up and make it be like, you know, I gotta get as many as Gacy, or, you know, this kind of thing. Pretty interesting that this is all sort of coming back up, and we've got these three cases now. And I would add the Golden State Killer to these cases also, even though he was captured in 17 or something. Yes. But and didn't get near the fanfare. Why do you think that is? Is it because he was a cop originally, or what do you think's going on there?
It may be so. I mean, I think one of the big misnomers, is sort of a misunderstanding of serial killers, the phenomenon, is that, you know, is this sort of myth that we're told that serial killers are walking amongst you, and they could be anyone, and there are, you know, 19 serial killers and 100 people everywhere you go. I think that that's not true. I think that this is something that at least came out of planned intelligence and training. And there are at least two of these guys who claimed that specifically. One was, what was the guy's name? Wayne Williams, the Atlanta serial killer, that is part of the Netflix series that came out. He was in the kind of the focus of episode two. That one, by the way, that series is pretty good, because it uses BTK as a kind of parallel story within the story. But he claimed that he was trained, that he was that in Georgia, he was trained at a CIA assassin facility. And Henry Lee Lucas said the same thing. He claimed that he was trained at the Hand of Death cult in the Florida Everglades. And the interesting thing about him is, you know, they haystacked his case, or they said that it was being haystacked. But the amount of time that he spent, you know, taking people around and with receipts everywhere he went, it was also tied in with television, right? Yeah. Because he was involved with the America's Most Wanted, you know, case, with the son of John, I forget the host name, but he was involved with that. So we have this weird, confluence between media and serial killer phenomena. And the Golden State Killer, I'm not sure why it went by the wayside. Maybe it was because of, you know, just the glut of news that was happening throughout the time. Maybe it was the war on terror. And maybe that is the case now. I mean, with so much going on in the world, it's hard to for people to focus on, you know, things at home or the awful things at home when their attention is drawn elsewhere. And I think that, you know, it's, of course, it's important to have discernment for the things that we're shown, you know, on a daily basis, and the horrible things that are involved with war and invasion. But it's also important to keep in mind the things that happened at home, you know, because they sort of set a precedent. War sets a precedent always, you know, when it's exterior, for the things that are going to happen here. So,
right. And if you want to prepare people for larger conflicts and stuff, this is a great sort of, you know, chink in the armor, if you will, to get people focused on these sort of things. But with that in mind, what can you update me about with regards to Dennis Rader and BTK? What's the latest there?
Well, I just know that Dennis Rader is he's locked up, and I know that he's been doing you know, he's been talking to his daughter. His daughter is not his spokesman, of course. She's sort of a spokesman for the antithesis of this, which is that, you know, I can't believe that I didn't know about this when all this was going on. And she said that she visited him and that he was toothless and seemed to be at the end of his life, but that he had recently drawn some pictures. And in one of the pictures, there was a barn. You know, the prison officials and investigators were interested in this. There was a barn with a picture of a girl, and that he then in an interview said, you know, those properties that I own, well, there may be more of them that I didn't tell you about, because he's got a whole list of victims. And one thing that's interesting, a tie between him and the suspected Gilgo Beach guy, is the number of properties that these guys own all over the country. I mean, we remember Ted Bundy going from Seattle and Tacoma, Washington, down to Florida, right? And we wonder how these guys travel. A lot of times local, you know, horrible crimes and murders, they end up being very close to the scene. They catch them very close. But these guys seem to get around, and they found some barns that he was involved with. They think they identified one of his victims that has been missing since like the 70s. They found all these like he called them his hidey holes around his barns. And I guess the same thing has sort of happened with this Rex guy. Just the number of properties. One thing that popped up in the news recently was that one of his coworkers went on vacation on a cruise. This was a news story I read from within the last month, went on a cruise and was surprised that he told her before he left, I can find you anywhere. Cause she said, I'm going to be on a cruise in the middle of the ocean. You can't find me. And he said, oh yeah. And then when she was on the cruise ship, a letter popped under her cabin door. And it said, told you I could find you in the middle of the ocean. Isn't that crazy?
Wow. That almost seemed creepy. Like, I mean, that you could chalk that up to just being a good stalker or something like that, you know, right. Checking her mailbox, whatever, hacking her email. But at the same time, it's like, what is the deal with the high mobility on some of these people and the, you know, intelligence they have on some of their victims? Right. That's curious.
Yes. Well, it's in a weird poetic way, I guess. The thing I draw with that is that she's on a cruise ship in the middle of the ocean, and they often will, the metaphor that's often used for these guys is, you know, they're the apex predator. They're like a great white shark hunting in the middle of the ocean. And he finds her in the middle of the ocean, which is terrifying, because it seems to make the metaphor into reality. You know, reality sort of folds back on itself with things like that. And the high mobility and the money and the absolute intent on predatory behavior and psychopathy, it's pretty scary. But I think that in terms of, you know, the political spectrum, it's like when war is going on, we think of it in a grander scale as that the American public is already terrorized by, number one, the constant use of the word terror and the constant barrage in the media feed. And it's almost like that's enough. It's a total media blitz. But when those things sort of die back, then it's like someone somewhere has to feel like they have to, you know, introduce this aesthetic terror into our social terror into the lives of the public, so that you're never safe anywhere, which kind of, I guess, formulates a sense of, you know, instability in the mind of the average individual, which I guess is probably one of the motives for all this stuff.
Yeah. You know, I was talking earlier about propaganda of war and propaganda of peace. You know, they give us peace propaganda at certain points in our timelines. And I got to wonder if the disappearance of the serial killer program was maybe part of that. And now the reappearance of it is maybe part of, you know, the flip side. We got about a minute left. I'll give the floor to you, my friend.
Well, I think that one thing interesting about the alleged Idaho serial killer, is that he's young. He's a young guy. And all the other guys that we see are older. It's always like there's a throwback. Oh, we caught them after many years. It's like with the Tupac thing. You know, we caught the guy. He's 60 years old now. But that seems to be suspicious. You know, not that they caught him as suspicious. I'm saying it's suspicious in the mind, you know, in terms of the overall sphere. You guys, you can find me at Baselit Analyzer on YouTube. Again, Friday the 13th, tomorrow night, hopefully, I will be doing The Ninth Configuration by William Peter Blatty and The Exorcist 3. Hesher was just saying it's a fantastic movie. It really is underrated. And bunch of streams coming up, bunch of literary analysis. Lots of stuff for dark fall, spooktober, spooky season. I hope everybody's doing well out there and they have a good, safe weekend.
All right. And the same goes to you, my friend, Baselit Analyzer on YouTube. I want to thank you for being here. I want to thank Luke. I want to thank TNT. I want to thank Lou Pate, Kimberly, and you for listening, and staying tuned for Misty Winston coming up right here on TNT Radio.